the Israel Report for the latest news and insights with Anthony Reich.
Anthony Reich, are you surrounded by people that'll flip your ears back the right way around if they were inside out?
First opportunity, absolutely. The question is, you know, would I allow them to do that? I mean, I think we're being flipped, our ears are being flipped back all the time with all the rules that we're having to adhere to and trying to make sense of them, Howard. And I've really decided that trying to make sense of some of these things is really just not sensible, and we just have to kind of go with the flow. Like the latest, for example, is that because we're still suffering in this massive, massive heat wave, temperatures yesterday reached 40 degrees, and today it's supposed to be even hotter than that. And of course, schools are back. So the Minister of Education has decided, the Minister of Health has decided that from now until the end of the week, children at schools don't need to wear masks, even though that is part of what they're supposed to do while at school. But for this week, no masks. So let's hope that Corona will stay away this week from the schools, like I think it's staying away from the athletes in South Africa between 6 and 9 in the morning, right?
Exactly. We're not in danger during that time at all.
Okay, great. So maybe that same system will apply to the schools at least until the end of this week.
Yeah, it's just, I feel like we're bumbling along and trying to figure this out as we,
as we go along. Exactly.
A Jewish man yesterday was convicted of murder for the attack on a house in Duma in 2015 that killed an Arab family. This was, as we spoke about this and we said absolutely an act of terror. He was a terrorist, is a terrorist even, I'm glad that he was found guilty. Can you tell us about the details?
So this involves Amiram Ben Uliel, who has been variously described in the Israeli press as a Jewish terrorist, appeared with the kippah and long tzitzit and long peyot as well. Obviously, a religious person in at least the way that he appears, appeared in the court like that. He appeared in the Lod District Court, and he was convicted by three judges of the murder of the parents and the 18-month-old child who were in that house that was firebombed. It was, there was an arson attack carried out in that house, which was random. I don't think that that family was particularly targeted. I think that this was just in the heat of the moment that they were, that he and some others who surrounded him were just determined to carry out some sort of a revenge attack. I don't exactly know what the situation was and what, drove them to decide to do this. But the Lod District Court decided that Amiram Ben Uliel is guilty of these three murders. In addition, he was found guilty on two separate counts of attempted murder and two separate counts of arson for things that he did in other parts of Duma and other areas. But he was acquitted of being a member of a terrorist group, which I think is an interesting acquittal because that was one of the charges that was laid against him. And the judges said that the fact that he carried out this attack as a result of ideological reasons may well lead to a harsher sentence when the sentence is eventually handed down. Now, in his defense, Ben Uliel said that he's appealing to the Supreme Court because he feels that he'd been wrongly convicted on the basis of confessions that had been given to him after he had been tortured. And so that's going to be his appeal basis, that he feels that he was unfairly treated by the security services who interrogated him. And as a result of that, they extracted a confession upon which his conviction was based. And this confession shouldn't be allowable. And so that's going to be his defense. But certainly there's been a lot of focus around this. And the fact that an Israeli court has the ability to find Jews guilty of terror acts in the same way as they might find non-Jews guilty of terror acts. And I think that that's a very important message, that bad behavior will not be tolerated no matter from which quarter it comes.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more. And I think it is important to reinforce the word terrorist because I do believe that that's exactly what he is. Handover ceremonies were held in Israel's ministries to allow the outgoing minister and office staff to welcome the incoming minister. Blue and white senior ministers have vowed to pursue the Trump plan for peace in the Middle East. How does this fit alongside the whole Judea and Samaria situation?
Well, I mean, you know, we were focusing really on the new foreign minister, Gabi Ashkenazi, and also on the new minister of defense, Benny Gantz, who both mentioned as part of their acceptance speech or their welcoming speech, if you like, at their ministry office, that they wish to pursue the Trump plan, which grants what they called an historic opportunity to shape Israel's future and its borders for the coming decades. So the Trump plan in general seems to be something that both the senior blue and white members, politicians, Ashkenazi and Benny Gantz, are eager to follow, and they both mentioned it. The question is, how does that fit alongside what the American government has really enabled, which is the possibility of an annexation of parts of Judea and Samaria? And while the U.S. government has been very cautious to say, look, this is not specifically part of the Trump plan as such, and this is a choice that needs to be made by the Israeli government, they have clearly given a very, very strong element of support to the idea of this annexation. And there is a view coming out of the United States and a strong view within Israel as well, that this annexation needs to be pursued pretty quickly, because there is the possibility that Trump will not be reelected when the presidential elections come along later this year. And if it is Joe Biden who, in fact, takes over at the White House, that the concept of annexation will simply be whipped off the table as quickly as possible, and therefore that if Israel doesn't take opportunity now and take advantage of this wind that comes from the White House, that the possible annexation plan will not be able to be pursued in the future in the event that Trump is not victorious in the elections. So there is a certain element of urgency that is being portrayed around Israeli government ministers right now about trying to pursue this annexation. This is really reflected by the prime minister more than anybody else. But Ashkenazi and Benny Gantz were very cautious not to go into too much detail about the whole annexation. But this is certainly becoming a big deal, because Ashkenazi mentioned how important it is for us to maintain good relations with countries like Jordan, with whom we have peace agreements. But there is also talk about the fact that if this annexation goes ahead, that Jordan will simply break off the peace relations with Israel, and that will effectively bring an end to what has been a somewhat very cool peace with Jordan, but still something of value and something that should not be sneezed at. On the other hand, there is talk about the fact that Jordan is not that enthusiastic about the possibility of a Palestinian state coming into being at all, in the way that the Trump plan contemplates. So the relations with Jordan, I think, are a little bit complicated and confusing at the moment. And Gabi Ashkenazi, as the new foreign minister, is going to have to deal with that. It's going to be an interesting thing to see what happens. But certainly, the Trump plan is very much on the table and being discussed. And just one little snippet as well about Benny Gantz. He yesterday, when taking over as Minister of Defense, called the four families of the Israelis who are at the moment somewhere in Gaza, the families of the two soldiers whose bodies are being held up in Gaza, and the two other Israelis, the mentally ill, two who went to Gaza of their own volition and disappeared there. He called all four families and reiterated that he, as Minister of Defense and Vice Prime Minister in his official capacity, is going to pursue at almost any price the possibility of bringing them home to Israel. So that was an interesting act that he did on his very first day in office.
Yeah, interesting, interesting indeed. Other stories that of course we wanted to cover is the Marat HaMachpelah, the Cave of the Patriarchs, is undergoing a renovation.
So it is, and this is going to be very, very interesting, because I've seen kind of depictions of what the new structure is going to look like at the Cave of the Patriarchs, the Tomb of the Patriarchs, which of course is in Hebron, and a highly, highly controversial site. And any construction, anything that happens at this particular site is very, very sensitive indeed, because it could inflame relations in Hebron and around the Marat HaMachpelah. Of course, the Cave of the Patriarchs being the location where many of our forefathers were actually buried. It is a holy site not only to Jews but to Muslims as well. And there is a certain symbiosis, I don't know that that's the right word, a certain way of operating between Jews and Muslims, which allows both of them to pray at different times of the day in order not to inflame hostilities around that area. But this new renovation that's being proposed and that will go ahead is one that will give accessibility. It's for access for people with disabilities who will be allowed somehow to get into both the Jewish and the Muslim prayer areas, which currently is not accessible because it requires climbing of stairs up and down and all the rest of it. And for people with physical disabilities, this is not accessible for them. And so really this is what this renovation is about, is to build some sort of a lift system which will allow people with physical disabilities also to have access to these prayer areas. So I think on the face of it, I think it's a good thing that other people who until now have not been able to get into these prayer areas will be allowed to get there. But of course, every little step needs to be like walking on eggshells. It needs to be very, very carefully done, because any little bit of construction, especially a lift shaft, which will have to go down and will have to go up, is very, very sensitive indeed. So obviously we're going to be watching very carefully to see how this renovation goes ahead.
Yeah, indeed. Also, another interesting story is that Israel is reported to be behind a cyber attack carried out on an Iranian port facility earlier this month. Now, was that in response to what you and I spoke about the cyber attack on Israel's water supply?
So I don't know that it was specifically in response, because I would imagine that a cyber attack of this nature probably takes weeks, if not months, to plan. So I don't know that this is something that could just be put together on the spur of the moment. But this is a report that comes out of the Washington Post that reported earlier this week. There was an attack that was carried out on May the 9th, which was at a port terminal, targeted a port terminal in Iran that regulates the flow of vessels and trucks and goods through that particular Iranian port area, which apparently is a very, very busy port area and very sensitive one, container ships especially and things like that. And it seems as if though Israel may well have been involved, or at least if we believe the report from the Washington Post, that Israel may have well have been involved in bringing down some of the computers that control the movement of these vessels, these ships and the trucks and all the goods that go through these waterways, and of course the roads leading up to the facilities. And the Iranian officials did acknowledge that an unknown foreign hack had briefly knocked the port's computers offline. The Washington Post says this was a very much a significant understatement of the reality, and this caused a major disaster in that area, with dozens of container ships loaded waiting off the coast, unable to get into the port, and trucks backed up around the area because the entire system had been taken offline, had been brought down. That area around the Persian Gulf, which of course is a very important shipping zone, not only for Iran, but indeed for other ships moving through the area. So that has been a very sensitive area, because not only because of oil, but because of other important supplies that are headed towards Iran. And it's interesting that this kind of ties in with the comments that were made by Naftali Bennett when he left the defense ministry yesterday, where he said, he said that he thinks that Iran is actually withdrawing from some of its bases in Syria, and that's due to economic issues, that the sanctions, the combined effect of the sanctions and the coronavirus has really brought the Iranian economy to its knees, such that it's not unable to even support some of these armies that it has been supporting up until now in Syria. Incredible. And some of those bases in Syria that have been, had Iranian presence have been closed down. But that's only temporary, he says, that they will be back. Don't worry about that.
Yeah, don't worry about a thing. Anthony Reich, thank you as always. Fascinating conversation, and very, very interesting news coming out of Israel. We'll catch you tomorrow morning, same time, same place. It is 8 o'clock. Here's your news with Zanati.